I want to talk on a subject this morning that just in itself is great. In 5:10 of the songbook, it says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun." No matter how you look at it, think about it, or whatever, one thing about grace, it's amazing. Amazing grace. This is the work of God. And grace is favor, goodwill, kindness, disposition to oblige another as a grant made as an act of grace. Appropriately, it is the free, unmerited love and favor of God. That is the definition that when you ask people, they'll give you that right there quicker than anything. And that's what it is. But it's also the spring and source of all the benefits man receive from him. It's favorable influence of God. It's divine influence, or the influence of the Spirit in renewing the heart and restraining from sin. It's the application of Christ's righteousness to the sinner. It's a state of reconciliation of God. It's virtuous or religious affection, our disposition as a liberal disposition, faith, meekness, humility, patience, proceeding from divine influence. It's spiritual instruction, improvement, edification. It's favor, it's mercy, it's pardon. Grace. Can you get to heaven by yourself? Can you live every day by yourself? Can you get victory by yourself? It takes God. It takes grace. It takes power. Now, one of my favorite scriptures, I'll probably give you several this morning, well, one of them anyway, is Hebrews 4:13. We'll start there. Now, this is not my text, but just where I want you to take this scripture, and we'll tie it in later. It said, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." To me, one thing grace is, it's helping. It's helping you and I to make heaven. You mark it down in your little book that Jesus Christ wants you to go to heaven worse than you do. And he's going to do everything he can do to get you there. He don't give up on people easy. He wants them to go to heaven. He wants them to spend time with him. He died for them. He paid a high cost. He said to me that one time, he said, "I died for you, child." That made it personal. Well, today our personal relationship with God is personal. So consequently, Jesus wants to help us just like a father does his son or his daughter's mother, the children. The bottom line is Jesus wants to help you and I to get to heaven. Amen. He wants to help you and I to live for him, because he knows that the forces of evil, he knows that the luring of the world, not to maybe some of us particularly, but to young people in particularly, sometimes that luring is pretty powerful. But I got news for you today. The grace of God is able to help us when we need help. All right, my text would be found There we go. I think we got some water coming. You're doing good, young man. Come on. I'll swap back. Thank you. My old voice ain't what it used to be. I guess I've whipped it and beat it and labored it for enough years now that it gives me quite a bit of trouble anymore. Titus, the second chapter. This is my text right here. 11th verse. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now he said the grace of God that bringeth salvation, for the grace of God hath appeared unto all men. Today Jesus Christ is going to give every man a chance to go to heaven. He's going to reveal himself, deal with him. He's going to come down, convict them and stir them. He's going to do everything he can do to get a man to turn and change and to live for him. That's his business. Him with the Holy Ghost, the Father included, they have got a great plan and they're going to do everything they can to get individuals to come and live for them. All right, in John, the first chapter, the 14th verse. He said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have we all received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He had declared Him. Now then, He said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. I'm thankful today that the grace of God has come. I'm thankful today that Jesus has come. I'm thankful today for what He has done. And He says here that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He's the one that brought it. He's the one that ministers. He's the one that works with it. Praise God. And the truth. He takes the truth and takes grace. He works together. And like Sister Roberta said, we can hide under that truth. We can hide under that working of the Spirit of God. And consequently, we can be in a safe place right there. Grace came by Jesus Christ. He said there, the grace of God that bring us salvation. I'm thankful today has appeared unto all men. Has it appeared unto you? Is it there? Has it been calling? Has it been working? Have you allowed it to work? Are you allowing Jesus to do with you what He wants to do? Praise God. He wants to take you and take the grace of God. He wants to demonstrate the power of God, the grace of God, the workings of God. He wants to demonstrate that to the world. People say you can't live for God. A man told me one time, to live like you believe, you need to be out in the middle of a 700 acre field living all by yourself. No, all I need is the grace of God, and that grace will take me, lead me, guide me, protect me, help me, strengthen me. It'll do everything I need. Praise God. I don't need to live off in some place all by myself. I can live for Jesus right here. I can live on 42nd Street, New York City. I can live in West L.A. or L.A. I can live anywhere Jesus puts me by the grace of God.
Amen.
The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. I'm going to tell you there's not a soul that will go out into eternity that God hadn't dealt with at least one time.
Right.
Brother Sammons one time was at a funeral. And he was there and there was a young man who had lost his wife, apparently. He didn't really know them. But he went to this funeral. And he said the young man was wailing and weeping and carrying on. And Brother Sammons was touched per se, but not greatly touched. And the Lord spoke to him and said, if that was you, you'd be acting just like him. In other words, put yourself in his shoes. Well, Brother Sammons thought about that. And then in another time that he was in a funeral, and a minister made a statement, he said, I don't know how many times God dealt with this man, but I know that He dealt with him one time. And the man's life was kind of iffy, so to speak, of where he stood and so forth. But he said, God dealt with this man one time. Give him at least one chance to go to heaven. Jesus would be not justified if he didn't do that. He would be wrong to take us and never give us a chance and never give us a call. And then we get out before him and never had a chance, never had an understanding or nothing. And he would say, depart from me, you cursed, knowing he'd never give us a chance. But Jesus is merciful. The grace of God, the mercy of God, the unmerited favor of God. It comes down and it works with mankind and it works with us usually several times through our lifetime. It's usually not just one time. But the bottom line is, he will be justified when we get into eternity. If we have not lived for him, if we have not done what we're supposed to do, he will be justified because he has given us a total call and a total working of the Spirit of God in every way to help you and I to make heaven. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. He says here, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, though I want the one above, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Now, I was told this by Brother Charles Smith's favorite scriptures. I've heard that. And of his fullness have all we received. Have we received all that Christ has for us? There is a push off to the workings of the Spirit of God in our lives anymore. And I'm not talking about those of us that are sanctified, but I'm talking about those of us that the Lord is calling into a deeper work and a deeper grace. People say, no, I don't want that. The fullness of God. We were talking at the breakfast table this morning of the touches, the workings that we as ministers have felt by the Spirit of God. And there's nothing greater than that, praise God. I'd rather have that than all the riches. I'd rather have that than being a president or Donald Trump or anybody rich. I'd rather have the presence and the touches and the workings of the Spirit of God more than anything in the world, praise God. It's the greatest thing, and it comes by grace. It comes by giving, surrendering, turning loose of everything we've got, giving it all to God. And of his fullness, have we received the fullness? Have we received full salvation, full sanctification? Do we have the Holy Spirit this morning? And grace for grace. The Lord has abundant grace. Amen. It's not just a little bit, but he's got everything we need, praise God. Everything we need. Let's go to Romans, the 5th chapter. First verse, 1 and 2 of Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. By whom also we have access. Now then, if you want to link that back in to my scripture in Hebrews, let's go back to there. Now let's go to the 13th verse in reading. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Praise the Lord. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now then, he says here back in Romans, he said, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. By Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ, we have access into everything that we need. Standing grace. Victory grace. If you've got a battle this morning, if you've got a struggle, if you've got a problem, you can access it by faith. It's available. It's not something hidden away. The Lord wants to help you. He wants to do what you need Him to do. When I was a child, I told this at home quite a bit, but when I was a child, we had gone on vacation, I always thought that my daddy had a lot of money. And he had a big home, he had new cars, he had, seemed like as a boy and even growing up, he just had anything we wanted. New cars for Christmas. We dimed, walked out there and Dad said, let's go see what's outside of you. New car sitting out there. So in my child mind, even my teenage mind, old Carl thought that my daddy had quite a bit of money. And I guess he did to an extent. I found out later it wasn't as much as I thought it was. And then the inheritance, I ain't got a big fortune out of it. But the bottom line was I found out daddy loved me. And I knew daddy loved me. And on vacation, I'd siphon up to him, say, you know, a nice ice cream cone or soda would be mighty nice. And usually I'd get it. I'd get that. And they'd be the other children. They learned that. They'd do the same thing. In other words, daddy wants to help his boys and his girls and his children. That's a daddy. See, that's what father wants to do. Listen, this is the father of fathers, the great I am, the most wonderful, loving, kind, considered individual that you and I can have. And he can give us anything we need in access by faith into this grace. Praise God. So if you've got a need this morning, the Lord wants to help you. It's not like he's sitting up there saying, no, no. He's sitting up there saying, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I will help you, child. You can have it, child. It's yours. But the Lord wants us to reach out by faith to get a hold of the promises and the grace and the power that we need. But it is available, and he wants to give it to you. Praise God.
Right. It's the Lord.
He wants to give it to you. We have access. Thank the Lord. I'm thankful for that access. I'm thankful that it's available. I'm thankful it's for you and me. The grace that we stand in need of. What do you stand in need of? Usually every camp meeting, we come and the preaching of the word goes out and we see needs. Well, yeah, I got a need. Maybe you knew it before you come. Maybe you got several needs. Well, if you do, the preaching of the word, the teaching of the word, the spirit of the word, the spirit of the services, it ministers. The spirit of the song, it ministers and helps us and touches us and blesses us. But we need to reach out and get a hold of what we need. Daddy, I want an ice cream cone.
Okay.
Here. I need a soda. Now, my dad couldn't cook. The old saying goes he couldn't boil water. Mama was a great cook. But Daddy wasn't no cook. But every once in a while, it got to be pretty often, best I remember, he'd come home and said, Daddy's going to cook tonight. That meant going to McDonald's, children. That meant going and getting a McDonald's burger. McDonald's, I think, had opened in the year I was born, 1953. And they might have been around a little bit, but actually the corporation, I think they said, Ray Kroc in his book said they started about 1953. And so consequently, it meant going to McDonald's. And on Daddy's deathbed, one of the girls, Kim, my sister, she said, that is a special spot in my life. Because every time Daddy said, Daddy's going to cook tonight, Kim thought, boy, we're going to have something good now. That was good in a child's mind, good hamburger, good French fries, good malt or soda or whatever we had. I don't remember just what all. But the Lord is better than our fathers, our natural fathers. He wants to give us what we need. What do you need today? What are you standing in need of? The Lord wants to touch you. He wants to help you. Now then, it doesn't take a great thing from God to help us. God is powerful. He's greater. He's bigger. I am that I am. I don't even remember what the year was. They were going to build Arcadia Lake. And so then I had been told by neighbors and so forth that they were going to buy property down right to the north side of my property and stop. Good. I get to keep my place. And it basically was just a buying of an overflow. It wasn't even going to build a lake that close to me. It was just an overflow area, property they were buying up. One day I was outside, my neighbor next door, Linda, was outside, and she goes, Carl. I said, yes, ma'am. Said, why haven't you been coming to the lake meetings? I said, what do you mean? I don't need to come. It don't affect me. She said, that's where you don't know. You don't understand. You're wrong.
I said, what are you talking about, Linda? She said, because now then they want to buy all the way through your property to the other side. I said, oh my. Well, that gave me a pretty heavy heart. And I was pretty crushed because I liked my property as most people do. I bought it when I was in high school. And I thought it was a pretty place. And I wanted to keep it for a long time. And I wasn't interested in giving away or selling or anything. I wanted to keep my property. So I went to work the next morning. And you remember the corner of my office down there, Brother Leslie, at my station. My desk with door was over here. My desk was over here in this corner. And I went down there and I was so heavy laden and so crushed and so forth. When everything kind of calmed down and there wasn't no customer, I sat down in my chair and I literally just laid over on top of that desk. And I began to pour myself out to God and seek Him and look to Him. I said, God, I need Your help. And I don't know how it happened totally, but it's like He just reached His hand out and He took a hold of all that pain and suffering, everything that was hurting me and down or crushing me, so to speak. And He reached down and He got a hold of that and He just lifted it out to the ceiling of the building.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. It was all gone. I rose up from there. They didn't take my place. I kept it until 1999 when I sold it, when it was living in South Carolina, and the Lord took care of that. It didn't take much for God to do that. I'm going to tell you, folks, we look at things that are big and mighty, things that are troublesome, and we can't handle it. No, you can't handle it outside of the grace of God. It's going to take Jesus to come down. It's going to take Jesus to help us. He said, by my grace, I can help you. We are what we are by the grace of God. So constantly, His power and His glory and His grace is sufficient to help you and I out. Praise God. Whatever you need, He can take care of it. Now our daddies, our natural daddies. Now I heard, I guess his sister Roberta told this years ago, that one of the children had popped a balloon. And they was keeping all the pieces of the balloon. And Sister Roberta goes, what are you doing that for? Said, when Daddy gets home, Daddy will fix it. I had the same thing happen to my brother, and it touched me deeply when I found that out. But daddies can't do everything, but Jesus can.
Amen.
We can't put balloons back together. We can hold them and comfort them and love them and so forth, but we just can't repair everything. Praise God, Jesus can repair anything. Jesus can do anything. By my grace, I can do it. He's telling us this morning that whatever you need, whatever you stand in need of, the Lord wants to give it to you. And you can have it by access, by faith, into this grace. Praise God. He wants to give you help. He wants to bless you. People are saying, I can't get the victory. You can by the grace of God. He wants to give you victory this morning. Whatever you need. That time that I struggled with unforgiveness. And probably most of you have heard my story, and I'm not going to go into the whole details. But that morning, or I've been telling the Lord for quite a while, I said, Lord, I've got to have some help. I cannot do it myself. It's too big for me. And it was. And I had tried, and I thought I'd forgiven everything, and then it would pop back up again. I'd said, no, you hadn't got the victory yet. There is times that we do that. There is times that we struggle. You know, there's times that we want it and we just can't quite seem to get it. And I come to the place, I said, Lord, You're going to have to give me the key and You're going to have to do it. When we get to that place, folks, that's the way to victory. Saying, Lord, please do it. You do it. You do it. Sister Catherine Williams told a story one time of her brother that was shot to death by his stepson. And Sister Catherine said, I needed forgiving grace. Forgiving grace. Well, I remember what she said, and I thought, Lord, this is what I need. I need forgiving grace. And I'm going to tell you, when the Lord come on the scene, in that van that morning, I was by myself going to Webb City, Missouri for ministry, to minister that morning, to be a meeting. And when He come down and He started touching me, He started enlightening me. He told me everything I needed to do. Folks, it looked so hard. Jesus made it so easy.
Yeah.
He can make it so easy. You say, I can't do it, Brother Carl. Yes, you can. He can help you by His grace. Praise God. He's got wisdom that far surpasses anything. Anyone that made the world so glorious by His wisdom and knowledge has still got that wisdom and glory today to help you. Praise God. It worked wonderfully. It worked wonderfully. And when it got through, I had the victory, and I still got it today. It works, praise God, by His grace. By His grace. Ephesians, the second chapter and the fourth verse. Let's go on a little bit further. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Thank the Lord for that great love this morning. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you're saved. Raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, He might shew the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Lord did not want He didn't want to make a plan where we could do it ourselves because there's too many people getting lifted up. So He made a plan where it took Him to get us there. For by grace are you saved. There have been a lot of people that have tried to do things, give up cigarettes and alcohol and drugs and do things, and they couldn't do it till the Lord helped them. Amen. Till they took it to Him and He touched them. I'm still touched with that poem and the message the Lord gave me for Brother Vader's funeral, the touch of the Master's hand. I'm going to tell you that touch by the Master's hand is all it takes, folks. His touch is great, powerful, and loving, and kind, and gentle. And He can just do whatever we need Him to do. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? Oh, for by grace are you saved, again, through faith. By this access by faith into the grace that we stand in need of through faith, and that not of yourselves. But then up here above it, it said it raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Praise God. That's part of this today and yesterday and the day before in meeting. Being in services, Monarch, Laranger, Guthrie, Holly Hill, wherever it might be, the Lord taking and us setting and listing and getting good. And then there could be some times just personally. I've been in some pretty glorious places, just the Lord and I by ourselves. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through. He wants everybody to see this grace. He don't want it hid in a closet. He wants it out on demonstration where people can see that's God. Had the privilege Sunday evening of listening to some of the people that's been working in Joplin, and they were telling of the mercy and the goodness of God. I guess you'd call it grace in a sense. How that one man was fixed to go downstairs to the basement, and the Lord allowed him to be pinned by a board or a door next to a hot water tank and held him there while the tornado demolished the house and dropped everything in the basement. He would have probably been killed.
Yeah.
Another man, he went to go down again into the basement. Right now I'm kind of scared of basements, folks. We had a storm cellar. Not ours, it's our neighbor's. And they said we could use it any time. They wasn't home anyway. So he started to go down the stairs and something caught his foot and he couldn't move. And again, I believe a door pushed him backwards and pushed him against the wall and just held him there. Again, everything went down. That thing that held him was just a gallon of water. A pitcher or a jug of a gallon of water held him. How that Brad Cole went down and retrieved the guitar that this man's guitar, and it was, I guess, a favorite guitar to him. He was a musician, singer, not a gospel, but a
bluegrass.
And Brad was able to go down in and find this guitar. Now, the case was kind of messed up, he said, but the guitar was totally intact, even in tune. That's God. God is able to protect. God is able to do the things. And I know I'm repeating myself, but listen, folks, today, He can do what we cannot do. He wants to exceed, He wants to show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us. He wants it toward us, but He wants everybody to see it too. He wants people out there to see, hey, this is Jesus Christ. He wants them to see how much blessings that we have, and that's kind of a little invite to everybody else, thank the Lord. What do you need this morning? What do you need this morning? What do you stand in need of? All right, let's go back to Hebrews. I'm going to wear this scripture out, I guess. I still hadn't got to what I want to get to, but we're getting there. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. Now, number one, grace is help. It's right here in this scripture. Grace is help. It helps you and I. But it said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Now then, where's Jesus at?
On this everlasting throne. The right throne hand of God.
The right hand of God, the throne of grace. He is right there. He said, let us therefore come boldly. Listen, folks, He's our Father. He's our brother. He's the person that died for us. He loves us. He's our Savior. He's the great I Am. He's everything sitting there, and He's sitting there on the throne of grace. He said, let us therefore come boldly. In other words, you don't want to have a false boldness, but you want to have a boldness enough to plow through everything that's pushing you back and get there and say, Lord, I need you. Don't let the devil shove you down, push you back, say you can't get it. Just come on in humility and in love and reach out to Jesus and say, Lord, I need your grace. Help me.
Yes, Lord.
Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. We don't have to be cowed down and beat down and whipped down. Listen, folks, this is our grace that belongs to us.
Yes.
He said, I'm going to help you. He said, I'm going to give you grace. It belongs to us. He knows we can't make it. Daily, He knows we can't make it to victory. He knows we can't make it to heaven without Him. He's sitting there with all the help we need. Let us therefore come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly. I want that to sink in. The Lord wants you to come with faith, in love, and humble. He doesn't want a wrong boldness here. He wants the right boldness. But I want to try in my feeble way to get across the point that He wants us to just come to Jesus and say, Lord, please have mercy and help me. It's available. It's ours. It belongs to us. He wants us to do that. Praise God. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. To find grace and find grace to help in time of need. Are we doing that today?
Yes.
Are you coming to God? Are you so whipped down that you can't get it or approach it or do it? He's saying, come on, children. Come on, children. I want you to come to me. I want you to come to me. I've always taught my daughter. And now then, I'm doing great. I'm the shortest one in the house of three women. Of course, my daughters have both moved out now. But the bottom line is, they're taller than me. But I've always told them, I'm here to help you. They're mine. We belong to God. We're His adopted into the family of God. We're His children by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're His children. And that Father wants to help you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to give you power. Whatever you need, praise God. He wants to do whatever it takes. Because you belong to Him. Because you belong to Him. He wants to help you. So what do you need? Let us therefore come boldly. Why? Why do we have altar calls? For that reason. For people to get help. Salvation, sanctification, healing, help, encouragement, strength, whatever they need. The altar's open. Well, when you come down here, usually there's a minister or gospel workers praying with you that help you and counsel you and kind of give you some boldness, so to speak, because they've done it many times and they know what they're doing pretty well. So consequently, it gives you a little bit of a, I can do it. But folks, we can do it at home too. The Lord wants us to do it. He wants us to come. He wants us to say, Lord, I want you to deliver me. I want you to help me. He's not some big bad wolf. He's a loving Savior. He's the power source, the glory, the help that we have need of. When I got saved at home. He let me know. After Lloyd Eck had worked me for 3 hours that night, and I never would humble my heart, I got in the car, and I'm glad Jesus sat down right over there and rode with me because He kept talking to me. And I appreciate that. He didn't quit. If you look back in your experience, of whatever the Lord is leading and guiding. Even in things where we have need of or whatever, He gives us songs, He gives us scripture, and if you can funnel it and bring it together and get a mindset of it, that's Jesus leading you, in a sense, to come to the throne of grace to get help. That's what it is. So consequently, He kept working with me, and when I got home that night and went to bed and I couldn't go to sleep and all this stuff, and I've been under conviction for months, and God had been dealing with me and working with me, but old Carl just wouldn't humble his heart. Finally, I rolled out of bed and got on my knees. I said, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm tired. I'm ready to give this mess up. I want the happiness that the young people are showing, the happiness, the joy, the peace that they're demonstrating, they've got, that I thought I had a lot of things, but there's one thing I didn't have, and that's what they all seem to have. I didn't have it. And praise God. Let us therefore come boldly, all by my little old self, coming to one that I didn't really know very well, but I knew there was a Jesus. I knew there was a God. I knew there was a Holy Spirit. I knew there was a Bible. I'd been taught that. My grandpa on daddy's side was a Baptist preacher for many, many years. And I knew all of that. But I didn't have a relationship till that night when Jesus come down and took all of my sins away, praise God, and done what I couldn't do. Let us therefore come boldly. There's people get saved at home. There's people get victory at home. And I'm not saying I don't want you to come to the altar. That's not what I'm saying, because I do. But the bottom line is, if you can't get to a service, you can't get to a preacher, there is times that people are out there and they need help and they can't get to somebody. Yeah. You're going to have to do it yourself. They said, let us therefore come boldly. When we were on our honeymoon, Becky was sick when we got married. Then I got sick after we got married. And so I had a high fever and I didn't feel good. And so Becky called a couple of three people for prayer that morning. And then she got to pray. Reading the Bible. No, I think she prayed. And I love the way she prayed, so to speak, because she prayed all around the world for everybody, seemed like, but me. But while she was praying, the Lord visited me. He said, you need to thank the Lord for healing. Come to this throne, child. Start thanking the Lord. Start accepting it. I thought, I'm not well. The Lord said, thank the Lord for healing. I said, Lord, I'm not well. He said, thank the Lord for healing. I said, I'm not well. Well, somewhere in there, she got through praying. And so I think she did pray for me. It seemed like everybody was first, I was last. And, you know, a new husband wants to be first, not last. But anyway, I still love her anyway. And so I said, get the Bible. And I quoted, and I wanted to read a scripture too. I said, now then, I want you to lay hands on me and pray for me. Didn't have Brother Ed, Brother Leslie, Brother Gordon, Brother Philip, Brother Ivan. I didn't have nobody there but her. Didn't have no minister. Didn't have no deacons. Didn't have nobody. Just Carl and Becky. And she approached the throne of grace. And while she was approaching, the Lord started working. Listen, folks, you can do it. You can come to the throne of grace. The Lord is begging. He's asking. He's pleading. I want you to learn how to do this. Young people, you can do it. You can get help. Especially in cases like that. We was off in, I think, Nashville, Tennessee. We didn't have nobody in town we knew. But the Lord was there. I remember that time Becky was so bad after she had Cynthia. There in the camp meeting in 1987. And I happened to be gone that particular morning. I called home and the person there said, Carl, I think you need to get some people and come up here. Preacher, you need to get them and come up here. Pray for her. She's not doing well. I said, okay. So I went to do my part and somewhere in there, I called back. And that time I talked to Rebecca. And I said, how you doing? She said, I'm doing quite a bit better. Said, the Lord just passed through the house. He got there before the preachers did. Praise God. Listen, folks, Jesus can do anything, anytime, and he's a quick God. Praise the Lord. Brother Salmons that time, I didn't know I was going to get into all this. Brother Salmons that time was so sick, I believe, with the flu. Out by himself again. Well, he was in a meeting, I think, somewhere. But he didn't have Sister Verna with him. He was there. And the devil come along and said, if you take a Tylenol, I believe what? Said, you'd feel better. Brother Salmon laid there on bed, thought about a minute. The Lord spoke to him and said, if you'll get out and pray and ask, I can heal you before the stuff can get in the bloodstream. Brother Salmon rolled out of bed, got on his knee, and approached the throne of grace, and God healed him right there. Praise God. Let us therefore come boldly, come to God, bring your needs to Jesus Christ, the great I am, and say, Lord, I need you right now. Approach him like you would your father. Approach him and say, I need help. He loves you. He died for you. He wants to help you. He is, excuse my term, he's itching to help you, so to speak. He wants to help you that bad. I've always wanted to help my daughters. The Lord wants to help us this morning. That's why we have camp meetings. And I hope you're understanding what I'm getting at that. I'm not saying I don't want you to come to an altar. That's not it. You can get help at an altar. But you may be off like Rebecca and I. You may be off like Brother Salmons. You might be in the middle of nowhere and it's just you and God. And the Lord said, come unto me and let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. And the Lord will help you. All right, let's move a little further. 2 Corinthians 12:6. 2 Corinthians 12:6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, there's a lot of mindsets of what the thorn of flesh was. Given to me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. To me, that's what it was right there. Now, I may be wrong. You can talk to me at the back door. But to me, that would be about as hard a thing as a man could go through it. You've ever been buffeted by a messenger of Satan, false prophets, whatever. That's a hard one to go through. I've been there. I've had it. That would have been hard for Paul to do. And so he besought the Lord that it might depart from me. Just take it away, Lord. Ain't no big deal. Take it away. And what did the Lord say unto him? My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. Need to write it down, put it on the refrigerator. Need to put it on the bathroom mirrors. I was in an apartment the other day there in Golden Rule home area. I walked in the restroom to wash my hands, and this sister and her husband had some sticky notes and had scripture on them, and they're right there on the mirror. I thought, this is good. When Rebecca was going through her nervous breakdown, she had all kind of stuff she typed out on the computer, and some of it in pretty big, bold letters. She had them on the kitchen cabinet. She had them in the bedroom. She might have them in the living room. The only place she didn't have them was the girl's room. Girls wouldn't allow them in there. She had them on the door to the pantry. They were something that encouraged her, that strengthened her. Matter of fact, I think she still got some of them around. And one of them, Sister Cheryl, is what you told her that day. That it's been such a blessing to not only her, but to me too. And so consequently, the bottom line is, you need to write this down and put it. My grace is sufficient for thee, Paul. For thee, child. For thee, brother. For thee, sister. For thee, older saint. Younger saint. In between, middle-aged saint. My grace is sufficient. No matter what it is, I have got grace to help you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul was learning, wasn't he? Then he said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. My strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, the power of God working when people look at us and say, how are they doing what they're doing? They're so weak. Or whatever be the situation. And they look at it and they can see that it's something beyond that person. That's what gets people's attention. So Paul said, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. I want that. That's all right. I'm just going to take it. I take pleasure in infirmities. How many of us do that? In reproaches. How many of us do that? In necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. I didn't say this morning, Brother Ivan and Brother Marty. When we were talking there at the table, I thought about how can people be burned at a cross. I mean at a stake. It's gone. It's His grace. It's His power. There's a lot of times that when people were attempted to be burned or whatever, the grace of God was so imminent that everybody saw it. There's no way they can deny God there. There was times, I believe, that the fire was put out, or they were raising their hands, shouting and praising God. And it was God on demonstration. It was His grace was sufficient. It would take that kind of grace. But it's available. My grace is sufficient. Remember, any battle you come to, write it down. Think about it. Put it in your mind. My grace is sufficient for you. 4 and 6 of the good book of James says, but He giveth more grace.
Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, giveth grace unto the humble.
Yes, give grace to the humble.
That's the way we need to approach it. That's the way we need to come. And we get down just exactly where the Lord is. He's got abundant grace. He giveth more. He's never going to run out. Never going to run out of grace. It's free as the air we breathe. There's abundance of it, more than enough. He will take and have all you need for a whole lifetime. If he didn't, folks, people would have been in trouble years ago before you and I ever showed up. But today, the grace of God still is just as rich and powerful as it was then. Those old preachers back there, those old saints. Oh, there's another scripture over here in Hebrews 12, I believe it is, the first verse. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us think about, consider, and weigh. You know, people say, I know of a man that he don't think you ought to go to Wednesday night prayer meeting. I never have figured that one out. I think he told me one time, it didn't make a lot of sense. But you and I go to Wednesday night prayer meeting. We need one another's testimonies. I called Brother Leslie one time. I think it was right after Wednesday night meeting. And I think they had four of them there. And Brother Leslie was on cloud nine. The Lord had come down and so blessed in the prayer meeting that he was just full of glory. It's the telling. It is the revealing of the grace of God. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Listen, there have been people from the very beginning, Matthew, Mark, David, John, all the way down to this very day, that Christ has administered grace. And what we need to do is just look around and say, thank you, Jesus. You helped them, you can help me. Praise God. It's there. It's abundant. And you and I, you may think, well, my little old testimony's not very much. But when you and I get up and tell of the grace of God, that is something glorious for the others to hear. Praise God. When I had the privilege of serving Guthrie as pastor, there was Wednesday nights that people got up and testified of the grace of God that I'm still carrying in those testimonies today.
Praise the Lord.
About the watch that wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And the sister said, Lord, I've got to have this watch today. I've got a schedule. So the Lord touched the watch that morning. She climbed in the vehicle, made all the stops, and done all the things that he needed her to do, that the husband needed her to do. And then after she got the last stop made, and maybe after she got back home, the watch quit working again. The grace of God. She needed help. She come to the throne of grace. And the Lord give it. What about the washer and dryer? I think they were coming up. Or washer, whichever it was. Or dryer, whichever. They coming up for camp meeting. And they were going to have company. And they needed this. And they didn't have time to get another one. They didn't have the money maybe to get another. And I think they laid their hands on it and prayed for it. And the Lord touched the dryer and made it work all the way through the meeting. And then it quit after the meeting.
Yeah.
They just asked for the meeting time. They didn't ask forever. Woo! Somebody told them later, said, you should have prayed that the Lord healed him forever. Well, they didn't do that. They just asked. That other sister, she just asked for the day. I need this watch today. That's what she got. But it's the grace of God. It's God working. My grace is sufficient. I have power. It can be. And another thing, saints, it don't have to be anything great to get the grace for. He wants to give you little things too. With so great a cloud of witnesses. He wants you to look around. He wants us to testify. He wants us to exalt him. Because that's telling of his grace. That's letting people know it's available for you too. If he can do it for me, so to speak, and we don't say it that way, he can do it for you. And children and young people and middle-aged and old, we all look at one another and we see the demonstration, the power, the working of the grace of God.
Lord.
Over in Acts,
the fourth chapter, I believe it is, in the 33rd verse. Four and 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Great grace. What is great? It's something beyond. I don't know. I don't know if I can give you. It's something bigger. We were in all that town, Becky, down there in Texas, Tyler, Texas, or somewhere. And we got off the road. There was a certain exit there, and we used to love to pull in there and fuel up there, get gas there. And so somehow we made a wrong turn or something. Anyway, we're going down the street and we seen this huge dump truck. Now this dump truck, the bottom of the bed was so big that I could just about, or so tall, this whole thing, the wheels and everything were so humongous, I could just about walk under it and never even duck my head. Now, I'm not that tall, but that would be almost 6 foot off the ground, just the bottom. Huge truck. It could hold lots of things, lots of mining stuff or whatever. It was great. It was big. It was magnificent. It was beyond. It was almost beyond what I could think about, so to speak, in a truck. I don't think I'd ever seen one that big. It was great. It was great. Now then, great grace was upon them. Somebody says, I want to see great grace. I want to see great grace. Have you ever thought about that? I want to see great grace. What does it take to see great grace?
Great trials.
That's right. No, well, yeah. But Brother Ed's right. In this, what my mindset anyway, Sister Karen, I'm not disputing you. But the bottom line is, to see great grace, you have to see great trials to see great grace. So consequently, if you want to see great grace, more than likely, somebody's going to have to go through a great hard trial. Sister Karen back there went all the way down the desk door. And just before she expired, the Lord turned it around. You see what's left. It's great grace. There is people in here. Sister Charlotte, she testified long ago. She's been at death's door, what did you say, 5, 6 times? Great sickness, could have died. Great grace. I nearly died in 87. Could have. I never saw a doctor, but I had a sister and sister-in-law. Both of them talked to doctors and told them what my symptoms was. And they said what he has is an infection in his system, and if he don't get it out, it'll kill him. The way the Lord got it out and the way the Lord took care of everything was great. It was beyond what I could have asked or thanked. I thought in myself, I thought, how's he going to get it out of here? He got it out. He got it out. And those around us, I believe, stood and marveled at what God done. God actually, in a sense of the word, done a type of operation on me. And he got it out. He actually opened my body up and let that fluid flow out.
Praise
the Lord. Great grace. Are you wanting to see great grace? Are you willing to go through a trial?
Yes.
Are you willing to do what needs to be done to see? I want to see great grace. Well, let's go through what it takes to go through to get that great grace.
Amen.
Willing to go through. Willing to go through. I'm not through, but I'm going to stop there, I believe. Hope you got the thought of my little message. It's available. It's powerful. Let us come get it. Lord wants you to have it. He wants you to have it. He wants you to have it. I want to reemphasize that. He wants you to have this grace, abundant grace, great grace. He wants you to have that. Let's have a song. Stand, please.